And okay, good. Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryan Karavavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mavirtvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Chaitanyam Sarvagam Sarvam Sarvabhutaguhashayam Yat Sarva Vishayatitam Tasmai Sarvavide Namaha. Very good. Nice to see you all. Welcome also to our many students attending these classes online. We continue. We left off in our last week class at a very significant point. Sri Krishna, wrong. Is today Saturday or Sunday? Okay, sorry. So, here, last week we saw how Sri Shankaracharya, author of our text, introduced this Avastatraya Prakriya. Prakriya, teaching methodology about Traya, three avastas, three states of mind, three states of experience. And I suggested at the time, and we'll see it today, that Shankara's intention here is beyond the conventional usage of this avastatraya prakriya. So every teaching methodology has like a standard usage. Believe it or not, there's when you really have studied this stuff for years, you see, and when you read all the commentaries, you see that there are typical ways of approaching each topic, and occasionally a commentator or even sub-commentator will take a untypical method. Here, Shankara himself is doing something I think surprising and brilliant. I'm sure it's been done elsewhere in Shankaracharya's works, but I'm not sure exactly where. So, of course, you already know that the point of this Avastatraya Prakriya is to establish the fact that you are the unchanging observer of three constantly changing states of mind: waking, dream, and deep sleep. You've seen this many times. Shankara introduced it in a prior verse. We're not going to return to it. Further, and an equally important take-home message from that Avastatraya Prakriya is the fact that anything that changes is not as real as that which is unchanging. Our definition of real is that which doesn't change. Anything that changes comes in and out of existence, because if it changes, its prior state of existence comes to an end, a new state of existence begins. If I drop this pot, the pot goes out of existence and the shards come into existence. So this pot is a good example of something which is not as real as the clay, because clay exists before I drop the pot, clay exists after I drop the pot. So based on this, you are the reality. Everything you experience, because it's changing in those three states of mind, less real. With this in mind, we're going to return to our, actually we saw just the beginning of this verse. We'll return to it now, and we'll see how Shankara extends. Let's see. Where is it in the next verse? Actually, the extension will take place one more verse. Let's see how he expands upon what I've just said. and sets the stage for that extension, which will come in one more verse. Sushupta kyam tamo jnanam, sushupta kyam tamo jnanam, bijam swapna prabodhayoho, bijam swapna prabodhayoho, swatma bodha pradagdham syat, swatma bodho pradagdham syat, bijam dagdham yata bhavam, bijam dagdham yata bhavam. He says, in the first half we saw briefly, he says that sushupta kyam, that which we understand as deep sleep, dreamless sleep, sushupti. He says that in that state of sushupti, of course, is tamas, pure darkness, and it is ajnanam, ignorance. And further, I'll just read the verse, and then we'll go into some interesting points here. That ajnanam happens to be the bijam, the seed, swapna prabodhayoho, for the two other states. So here we're talking about sushupti, deep sleep, which is, Shankara says here, is the seed for the other two states, waking and dream states. Now, to understand why this is so important, recognize this. In waking state, everything is known to us. Everything happening around us is known to us. Everything happening in your mind is known to us. In a dream state, the outside world goes away, but what's happening in your mind continues to be known by you, observed by you, witnessed by you. You are the sakshi of that dream experience. Then in deep sleep, even that goes away. The dream experience goes away. So what remains? And Shankara says right here, ajnanam remains. In deep sleep, you still have a mind. It's sometimes said that the mind disappears. Not exactly. The mind goes into a state of resolution, an unmanifest state. In that unmanifest state, definitely ignorance is still present. If ignorance went away, I suppose you would be enlightened. in deep sleep, that certainly doesn't happen. So, ajnanam remains in deep sleep. And that ajnanam remaining in deep sleep is the bijam, the seed for swapna, dream experiences, and prabodha, waking state experiences. The seed in two senses. First, in a psychological sense, Many sleep. Those who study sleep, it's actually a big science. They say that you don't go from the waking state to the dream state. It's easy to demonstrate. They take that EEG of your mind. They can easily see that you go first to deep sleep, and then you wake up halfway, dream. Then you go to deep sleep, and eventually you wake up all the way. So the point here then is, even science demonstrates that the waking and dream states have sushupti as the bija, as the seed. So that's one way of understanding how deep sleep is the seed for the waking and dream. But now, that's a psychological explanation. From the standpoint of Vedanta, we take it in a very different way. And that is, when you're dreaming, you take that dream world as being very real. Of course, when you wake up, you know it's not. Right now, you take this world as being very real. When you wake up out of the dream of ignorance, you realize it's not. As we said before, anything that comes and goes is less real than you, the unchanging consciousness who watches everything come and go. We don't normally think of it like that, but that is what we understand through the teachings of Vedanta. This world that you're experiencing right now, we don't exactly say that it's unreal. We've done this analysis before. It's not unreal like the elephant in my hand, but it certainly is less real than you, the unchanging conscious observer that watches things come and go. So the bijam here, seed, means the seed for taking things. The seed of ignorance makes you assume that the dream experiences are really happening, and the seed of ignorance makes you think this experience is real. So when we say that bijam, that seed, is ignorance, it's an ignorance that makes you, the mistake that it leads to is a wrong assumption that in a dream, whatever you experience is completely real. And in a waking state, whatever you experience is completely real. Those wrong conclusions are due to ignorance. So that's a little bit more. We didn't talk too much about this last week, so we've expanded it. Now the second half of the verse. Svatma bodha pradagdham syat, when this happens, when what happens, when that bijam, when that seed, which is ignorance, which when that seed is pradagdham, burnt. Burnt by what? Sva-atma bodha, by the knowledge of your true nature. By the knowledge that atma is unchanging. Your true nature as consciousness, unchanging consciousness. That knowledge that you are unchanging consciousness metaphorically burns away that ignorance. The metaphor is really because, you know, burning destroys, right? The surface part of the metaphor is pretty clear. Ignorance is destroyed by the fire of knowledge. You've heard this metaphor before. And of course, it's a metaphor. But with regard to seed, it's not exactly a metaphor. You can burn seeds. In fact, when I watch ladies cook, it's one of the first things they do. They put some oil in the pan, they put some seeds, coriander seeds, whatever they're cooking, and then pop, 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 pop. I watch this. It's nice. They make that. I think you call that tarka. Is that correct? Okay. Now here's the point: those seeds, having been burnt, if you take those seeds before they're burnt and you plant them in some earth and add some water, they might grow. That's what seeds do. Seeds germinate. But after you've fried them in that pan, they're not going to sprout anymore. So here, we're seeing the two senses of this burning. In a very physical sense, seeds get burnt. In a metaphorical sense, the seed of ignorance gets burnt. And what is the consequence? In the last line, he says, bijam dagdham, that the seed of ignorance is then burnt. And that burnt seed is yata abhavam, as though non-existent. Doesn't sound right. There's a nice American saying, as good as dead. That sounds kind of more idiomatic here. That seed, the seed that you fried in the pan, is not going to germinate. But look at this with regard to the metaphoric meaning. That seed represents ignorance. The ignorance that makes you assume that dreams are absolutely real and that this experience is absolutely real. That ignorance gets figuratively burned. And what's significant of that metaphor is that the seeds in the pan are burnt, but they're still there. I suppose if you turn up the heat too much, something else might happen, but those seeds are still there. But they're incapable of germinating. That metaphorically represents how waking, when the ignorance of the fact that the dream state is absolutely real, and the ignorance that makes you conclude that the waking state is absolutely real, when that ignorance is burnt, so to speak, notice that they don't go away. Just like the seed in the frying pan is still there after you're enlightened. Do enlightened people dream? Why not? Do enlightened people experience the world around them? Of course. The experiences persist, but they persist in the same way as that burnt seed. They persist in an altered way. The seeds cannot sprout. The waking and dream experiences for an enlightened person cannot germinate into suffering, so to speak. So the enlightened person continues to have normal dream and waking experiences, but without suffering, because there's no germination possible. Remember Pujya Swamiji making an interesting statement. He says, you have to, in order to suffer, he says, you have to work at it. And what he meant, and what he meant by that is, if you just have an experience, it's just an experience. And an example I've used before is, suppose you get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom and you stub your toe and it hurts. Okay, it hurts bad, but then the suffering kicks in. Who designed this house with this door here? If the door were there, I wouldn't have stubbed my toe. So you turn it into a big thing. That's suffering. Pain, we've distinguished many times between pain and suffering. Pain, even the enlightened person will say, ouch. But the enlightened person isn't going to go on this tirade finding someone to blame, as it were, for that pain. The enlightened person experiences a pain without suffering. That's what I meant when I quoted Pujya Swamiji as saying, you have to work at it to suffer. And that's the working on it, the additional thing. So, there's one Sanskrit word I'd like to share with you, because it's highly relevant and it's often used, and that is badhita. Badhita means negated. The burnt seed is a representation of something which has been negated. For the enlightened person, the experience of the world still exists, but its reality has been negated. So we then say that the enlightened person continues to experience the world as before, but without suffering, and that experience is negated. And if you really like Sanskrit, we call it badhita anuvritti. Anuvritti means the continuance, the persistence. The persistence of an experience which is badhita. The seed continues to exist in the pan, even when it can't germinate. The experience of the world continues to persist, even though it can't germinate, it can't produce suffering. We call this badhita anuvritti, and the great metaphor We've seen this metaphor before that describes that condition of bodhita anuvritti is the experience of a lucid dream. To be dreaming, but to be somewhat awake enough that you know you're dreaming. You may or may not have had that experience, but you get the sense of it. You're dreaming, and you know it's a dream. So if you're in some rural place in India and an elephant comes charging at you, you know the elephant isn't real if it's a lucid dream. That's the point. You see the elephant, you experience the elephant, but you won't take it as real, which means you won't experience real fear. The metaphor we've used many times. By the way, I use that elephant metaphor because it's coming probably, maybe in this class or the next class, we'll see. Okay, let us continue. Now comes the where the extension of this metaphor, of this Avastha Traya Prakriya, an extension of it, and we'll see that here in the next verse. Tadevaikam tridhagneyam, tadevaikam tridhagneyam, maya bijam punaf kramat, maya bijam punaf kramat, maya vyatma vikaropi, maya vyatma vikaropi, bahudhaiko jalargavata. Bahudhaiko jalarkavahat. Take the word bijam in the second line. That bijam, tad eva ekam, even though that bijam, that seed, the seed of ignorance, which remains present in deep sleep, he says, gnyayam, you should understand that it is tridha. That seed of ignorance is threefold. What are the three conditions? Waking, dream, and deep sleep. Taking waking and dream as real. Of course, in deep sleep, you don't think about anything. But in waking and dream, you look around you and you say, this is real. So this seed of ignorance, which persists in deep sleep, causes the alternation of these three states, waking, dreams, sleep, and causes you to take them as being real, not bodhita, as we just discussed. Now notice that right now, and this is just what we've seen before, but notice that punaf kramat, so they tridha, they become three, punaha, again and again, kramat, sequentially. And the sequence is not exactly waking, dream, sleep. It, according to psychologists, a little bit more complicated than that. It's waking, sleep, dream, sleep, dream, sleep, dream, sleep, dream, sleep. I think five or six times they say. And then waking. Actually, probably, at least for me, I wake up several times during the night. So, but if you sleep through the night, it would have that pattern. Okay, so punaf kramat, punaha kramat. Now notice we skipped the word maya. Where did this word maya come from? Mm-hmm. This is where Shankara is doing something clever. As I said, unconventional, but brilliant. He is making a comparison between ignorance and maya. And we haven't discussed this in any recent class. I think it's been many years since that topic has come up in a class here. What is ignorance for you is similar, not the same, similar to what is maya for Ishvara. Similar. Why is it similar? Due to ignorance, you create a dream world and a waking world that you think are real. due to Maya. Ishvara creates. And Ishvara's creation is also Tridha, threefold. So this is, whenever we have a lot of things going on here, I'll go to the board in just a minute to explain it, but we can use one of our analytical tools here to make this much more clear. Most of you are familiar with these two perspectives of Vyashti and Samashti. Vyashti is a perspective of an individual. Microcosm, I suppose, is the word that we use. And then Samashti is the perspective of the whole, the macrocosm, as we often say. So we can look at things from both a microcosmic and macrocosmic perspective. From a microcosmic perspective, you are this body. From a macrocosmic perspective, this body is just one tiny speck of dust in a universe of matter. You have a subtle body inside this physical body. That's a microcosmic perspective. From a macrocosmic perspective, your subtle body, your individual subtle body, is just the tiniest part of a vast assemblage of subtle bodies. Ishvara's subtle body. We use the term Hiranyagarbha. I think that's a little too much complexity. Let me go to the board and show you some of these. Which button here? This one, and I should turn off this one. Yeah. Okay. Oops, I forgot that. Now, let's look at these two perspectives. Okay, the board is on. So, Vyashti and Samashti. Vyashti, the individual perspective, microcosm. Samashti, the whole perspective, broad perspective. Let me see, what did I have in mind here? Okay, so here's something you may not have heard before. What we consider ajnana, nice if I could write, what we consider ajnana from an individual perspective, we can consider maya from this collective perspective, the samashti perspective. That's what I was suggesting before. What is ignorance for you, the individual, is like maya for the whole, who is Ishvara. And just as you, with your ignorance, you project the reality of the waking and dream states, in the same way Ishvara, wielding this power of maya, creates the universe. Here's an unconventional but maybe helpful way of putting it. It may not be technically correct, but it might be useful for me to say this anyway. The sum total of all the physical stuff in the universe is a way of understanding Ishvara's body. The sum total of physical stuff is Ishvara's body. The sum total of subtle stuff is Ishvara's mind. What I've said so far is absolutely fine. It's not unconventional at all. In fact, it's taught frequently. Watch what happens. In fact, let me retract that word, unconventional. This is mainstream Vedanta. So what the sum total of the physical stuff in the universe is Ishvara's body. Ishvara is then called Virat. Virat Purusha is Ishvara, whose body is the entire universe. What is your subtle body, your sukshma sharira, from a standpoint, individual standpoint, from this collective standpoint, the sum total of all the subtle stuff in the world, I said before, Ishvara's mind, and that's what we use, this fancy word, Hiranyagarbha, is used as a technical term to describe Ishvara as one who has this subtle content of the universe as his mind, his subtle body. That leads us to the third step. Suppose we consider, you have ignorance. We have a lot of ignorance, but it's your ignorance. It's your individual ignorance. Suppose we consider that ignorance from a wider standpoint, samashti. Notice one of the hallmarks of ignorance is its power to create. You create that snake in the dark alley. Ishvara didn't. You are the creator of that snake. Just to recognize that ignorance has this creative capacity, looking at it has also a covering capacity. I don't want to get into this topic, and if we can spend a lot of time talking about it. So definitely Ishvara, Ajnana, serves as a cover. You don't see the rope, but it also has this projecting or creative capacity. You create the snake. And how many times have you heard me define Maya as a creative capacity? So this is the metaphor. So Ajnana and Maya are related in this way. Vyashti and Samashti. Now look at in the verse, he says Tridha. What does he say? Or is that in the first half? Tridha. You should understand that even though the seed or Maya is one, Ajnana and Maya are one. These single entities give rise to something that's threefold. What is threefold? Let's try this here. We'll try the we'll do. I think we use Sanskrit terminology here because this is, I think you know this already. Jagrat is our word for the waking state. Dream. Swapna is dream state. And as we said before, Sushupti is the deep sleep state. So this Ajnana becomes these three from this Vyashti perspective. In fact, let me try to do that. See if this works. I've never drawn this kind of diagram before. Let's see if it makes sense. So from this Vyashti standpoint, your standpoint, we have this Ajnana becoming threefold, waking, dream, and deep sleep. Now, Samashti. Are we still on the board? Yes, good. So, I said, Ishvara creates. He creates a material universe, which is sthula, physical, observable. He creates a non-physical universe, mind, senses, anything that's not tangible, which we call sukshma. And, by the way, are you seeing any? Okay. Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti belong to the Vyashti. Sthula and Sukshma belong to the Samashti. Do you see any connection here? Pretty obvious, right? In the dream state, you're not aware of the physical world. In the dream state, you're only aware of the subtle world, your mind. In the waking state, you are certainly aware of the physical world. So this is a metaphor. So notice the fancy word, congruence. Sounds like a mathematics class or something. But to explain this diagram, we need to see some of these relationships. So you can see Vyashti giving from the individual standpoint, ignorance gives rise to these three. From the collective Samashti standpoint, Maya gives rise to these three. What is this one? What is this one? These are not shariras, right? Yeah, so we're talking about the world. This is samashti. So karana sharira is yours. Karana sharira still exists in sukshma sharira. You're on the right track, but we can't use the word karana sharira here. Anyone else want to try? It's a technical word. So in Sushupti, you exist in a resolve condition. That's one of two words we can use. So avyakta, or what I would prefer, is this is a more technical term. It's a little bit more correct. Avyakrita. Avyakta simply means unmanifest. Avyakrita means not yet manifest. It's going to be manifest. Either of these words are just fine, but brilliant. Look at this. In deep sleep, you exist in the state of pralaya. The world exists in an unmanifest state, usually called avyakrita. When you wake up, you can wake up halfway into a dream. When the world begins, what is the first worldly stuff to emerge? Sukshma. Not physical stuff. That comes later. When you wake up all the way, you see the world around you. When the world fully emerges from the state of pralaya, physical things also exist. So here is, I don't know if this makes any sense to you. It's a little bit complex, but it shows the point Shankara wants to make. And that point is ignorance. Let me push the right button here. I want to go this one and this one. Good. So the point here, Shankara is trying to show us here how ignorance and maya have parallel functions. Ignorance functioning at the individual standpoint and maya functioning at the global samashti standpoint. So we see the similarity between the two. And then we'll see the second half here. Maya, by the way, here's a good place to point out, you have to know, if you're going to read this stuff, you need to know some Sanskrit. Because if you would probably read Maya Vyatma. But Vyatma is not a word. It is Maya Vyatma. And then the words combine due to sandhi. So, by the way, I'll mention just, I don't want you to feel bad, but sandhi is one of the introductory topics in Sanskrit. It's one of the first topics you study. So anyway, this is how fundamental it is. We need to know a little Sanskrit to make sense out of this. So Maya V, the one who wields Maya. Who wields Maya is Atma. Atma wields Maya. But now Maya here, we've got two different meanings. Atma wields Maya, and last line, Bahudha Ekaha, the one becomes many due to the Mayavi. That Mayavi, but in vernacular language, most of you know, is magician. And here, we use it in a more technical sense. It retains that meaning of magician, but in a simpler way, that Mayavi is the one who wields Maya. Ishvara wields Maya to create the universe. You wield ignorance, I should say, in a manner of speaking, to create the snake. You did a good job. A very threatening snake. You're a good creator. You wielded ignorance to create a very real and scary snake. Ishvara wields Maya to create what seems to be a very real world. Ishvara creates a real world? Ishvara creates a world that's as real as it looks. But as they say, looks can be deceiving. Okay, as it is in a dream. So here, Mayavi, the one who wields Maya, and at two levels. You, the individual wielding ignorance to create the snake. Ishvara wielding Maya to create the world, that, in both cases, Atma. Atma is the truth of you, Brahman is the truth of Ishvara, Atma is Brahman, there's no difference, Tattvamasi, we've studied that before, but that Atma is avikaraha, unchanging. So Atma, from the individual standpoint, Atma is the unchanging consciousness, who, when endowed with ignorance, can create a nasty snake. In the same way, Ishvara, the essence of Ishvara is the same Atma as the essence of you. That Ishvara, that Atma of Ishvara, is associated with Maya, and wielding that Maya creates this universe, which, as we just said, is not as real as it seems. And that's what Shankara ends with here. Jala arkavat. He says, ekaha bahudha. The one becomes many. Jala arkavat. Arka is the sun. Jala is water. The sun's reflection in water, especially water that has ripples in it. If you're watching, sunset doesn't exactly work. The usual example we use is a bucket of water. Because in that bucket of water, you can shake the bucket and get lots of ripples. And if you shake it enough, you actually turn the sun into many. You get many waves, and in each wave, a different sun gets reflected. How many suns are there? One sun. It appears as many. One sun appears as many. One from the smushti standpoint. So one sun appears as many from your individual standpoint. One consciousness appears manifold, waking, dream, And so you have three completely different kinds of experience. Waking, dream, sleep. And to finish our metaphor, from the Samashti standpoint, one Ishvara becomes manifold stool. Actually, better if we go back to that. Go look at the board. And let me go back to the board here and just we'll summarize this verse. So, one ignorance for the individual gives rise to three kinds of experience, jagrat, swapna, and sushupta, and one maya. Or here, the perspective is mayavi. You, associated with ignorance, you being the conscious being, you create jagrat, swapna, and sushupti, and the atma of Ishvara, whom we call Brahman, that Brahman associated with Maya gives rise to Stula, Sukshma, and Avyakrita. If this seems complicated, it is. Shankara is being really sophisticated here to draw this comparison between ignorance, ajnana, and Maya. That's not a very common topic. As I said, I've seen it done elsewhere, I just can't remember. Here it's done in a really brilliant way. Yeah, we'll see just one more verse. So let's get that back and get me back. Oops. That's you, me. And one more button to push. Bijam chaikam yatha bhinnam, bijam chaikam yatha bhinnam, pranaswapnari bhistata, pranaswapnari bhistata, swapna jagrat charireshu, swapna jagrat charireshu, tadvachatma jalenduvata, tadvachatma jalenduvata. Really continues to summarize what was taught in the prior verse. He says, ekam bijam, one seed, yatha, just as one seed becomes bhinnam, manifold. And here we're referring to, well, what makes it complicated is we have two. If I explain to you why it's so complicated, it'll get more complicated. So, anyway, so that one seed, we'll say the seed of, okay, let's take the whole thing from the Vyashti standpoint. From you, from an individual standpoint, just as the one seed, yatha, just as the ekam bijam, the one seed of ignorance, bhinnam, becomes different, waking, dream, and sleep. And he says it becomes different when, where, prana swapnadi bihi, in the states of prana, by the way, is a obscure way of referring to sushupti. Because in sushupti, what remains is just prana. You're still alive, is the idea. The mind is functionally gone, but prana persists. So here the word prana absolutely refers to the deep sleep state, sushupti. So we can even supply it. Sushupti, swapna, adi, etc. would represent jagrat. So our three states of experience. In the three states of experience, the one seed of ignorance becomes many. Now that's from yeah. That's you know, this is what I'm trying to avoid. It's already complicated. I don't want to make this so much more complicated. So just as the one seed of ignorance for you gives rise to these three states of experience, those three states of experience are not absolutely real. They come and go. As we said at the beginning of the class, anything that comes and goes is less real than what doesn't come and go. You are the unchanging observer of those three constantly changing states of mind. And that's the drishtanta yata, just as that one seed of ignorance becomes many. And go down to the last line. Tadvat, in the same way, tadvatcha, atma, in the same way, atma, swapna jagrat sharireshu, in various bodies, different bodies that exist in waking and dream states. So in the wake, when you're awake, you just got this one. But it's interesting, in a dream, you could actually have different bodies. Did you ever have a body that you could fly with in a dream? That's a common dream. You can't fly with this body, but you can fly with your dream body. How about in a dream, you can get killed and then get up and go home? That's another common dream, death dreams. So obviously you can have a variety of bodies in a dream. You're stuck with this one in the waking state. But here's the point. And I want to make this point without adding to the complexity we have so much. And the complexity is, when one becomes many, we should add one as though becomes many. If I drop this pot, it becomes many shards from the standpoint of pot. From the standpoint of clay, did one become many? It's still one clay in different forms, in the form of all the shards. So even though one pot can be broken and become many, clay cannot become many. And that's a point Shankara makes here in the end of this verse. He says, tadvad, in the same way, atma, which seems to be many in your waking and dream states. You seem to have one body here and another body in a dream, so that one atma seems to become many, but it doesn't at all. And he gives kind of the same example. Jala induvat. Before it was jala arka, the sun, the arka, the sun reflected in a jala, and here is jala indu, moon. Same thing. The moon reflected in the water. It's the same one moon that's reflected. There's an important take-home message, and if this got a little too complex for you, I'm sorry. This is not an introductory text, and Shankara was quite sophisticated with his comparison of Maya and ignorance in the prior verse. But the take-home message, I think, is really very simple and obvious, and that is that just as, we'll end with this one more metaphor, just as your waking and dream states are not absolutely real, you are the unchanging observer of these apparently real waking and dream states. In the same way, when Ishvara creates the world, doesn't create an absolutely real world. Look, how obvious it is. We just said anything that undergoes change is not absolutely real. The world undergoes change. In fact, right now it is undergoing a lot of change. In fact, environmentalists are freaking out because of some of the terrible changes that the world is undergoing. From a Vedantic standpoint, the world undergoes change when it goes from an unmanifest state to a partially manifest state to a fully manifest state. From an unmanifest state of Vyakrita to a partially manifest state when the sukshma world exists to a fully manifest state when the world exists as we know. The world that Ishvara creates is not absolutely real. So from the individual standpoint, you are the unchanging observer, utterly unaffected by change. And even from the samashti standpoint, you are the unchanging observer, unchanged. This will stretch you. Just as you are the unchanging observer of the constant alternation of waking, dream, sleep, in the same way, you are the unchanging observer of the alternation of yugas and kalpas. That'll stretch your mind. Do you get it? You're not just the observer of these constantly changing states of experience. You are even the unchanging observer of kalpas. Universes come and go. Consciousness remains. What a vast perspective. And that's where to conclude our class. Om sarve bhavantu sukhinah, sarve santu niramayah, sarve bhadrani pashyantu, ma kashchid dukha bhag bhavet, asato ma sadgamaya, tamaso ma jyotirgamaya, mrityor ma amritangamaya. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om tat sat. Okay, turn that off. Good. We'll pause here for just a few minutes and then we'll continue with our satsang.